The worst thing about rushing was, even though you were rationed, if you got in the queue to go to the butcher shop, sometimes when you got to your turn, it was all gone.
There was none left.
So you had to wait until some more came in. Yeah. And it was very difficult at times.
How much did you have?
I can't remember, but it was very little.
Yeah. Well, 2 ounces of most things. It would be like 2 very small rushes of bacon was your allocation for a week. And
you might have been lucky to get one egg.
One egg?
Maybe.
And we never got any bananas. They were for just babies and mothers who were expecting babies. We never got bananas. And we were lucky if we got oranges, weren't we?
Oh, well, they had to be brought in, and it was very difficult.
So there was very little.
So it was a very hard time, and much worse, of course, for the ladies that had to bear the brunt of all this. You see, in those days, not too many mothers went to work. Have to go and stand in the queue all day and hope they'll get some food and off, and they didn't.
Yes, and everything was cooked. We didn't have any takeaways like you do now. It was, the only takeaway was a fish and chip shop, and most people couldn't afford to go and buy fish and chips if they had a big family. So it was really hard.
Peggy, one of the things in those days, whale steaks.
Yes.
Awful, wasn't it?
And
oh, horse
it was meat.
Awful stuff.
Yes, and horse meat. So it was hard.
What was the squander bug?
What?
The squander bug.
The doodle bug.
Yeah.
Oh, the doodle bugs.
Well, that was a bomb built into a thing called a gyroscope. It was a bomb. It had main planes, 2 wings, but it had a gyroscope in it. And once they got it moving off the ramp, it was going in a certain direction, and then when this gyroscope stopped, a gyroscope is a thing that spins around to give it balance. When that stopped, down came the, we called it something one, well, M1?
The V1.
V1. It was called a V1, but everybody called it a doodle bug because of the way it...
Yes. You see, you could hear it coming over, you heard the noise like an aeroplane, but as soon as the engine stopped, you knew it was going to come down, and you were just waiting, thinking it's going to fall on you.
So it was, quite indiscriminate. They had no idea where it would fall, so it was quite a nasty thing. But the V2 was even worse. That was a rocket that was fired up in the air and went a long way, and they had no idea where that would land. But we didn't even know that one was coming. The only time you knew was when it went...
hit you.
Yeah.
And there's lots and lots of people were killed, and there would be a huge crater in the ground, and everything would just fall into the ground.
Now, if you come round tomorrow, I'll show you an Anderson shelter and explain a bit more about it. Have you seen it in Nan's garden?
Yeah.
In the front?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Anderson shelter?
Yeah, there was one that's very small and it's tiny.
Oh.
See, it stands about my height, but you had to dig a hole. You had to dig a hole a half my height, put it in, fill it in, and then cover the whole of it with soil. And it was largely to protect against blast. If a bomb fell on the shelter,
it wouldn't save you, no.
So it was blast. If a bomb landed, say, 100 yards away, there was a good chance that you'd be all right in the ambulance.
And when the siren went, it went most nights, you just got up out of your nice cosy bed, and if it was pouring with rain or snowing or whatever it was, you had to go down into this air raid shelter, the Anderson shelter, and wait till the all clear went. So it was often very cold nights, wasn't it? Didn't get much sleep.
That's right, not very nice in the winter.
Did you ever actually get bombed?
Well, yes. I was in the air raid shelter when 58 Baxter Road was demolished. But we were a fair way down. We were right at the bottom of the garden,
yes,
58
Baxter. We were. And but the bomb was in Baxter Road at the far end, wasn't it?
Well, no, this one fell on the house.
Oh, on the house?
58 was demolished, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of the
there
first
was another
one, a land
further
mine.
Up. That's right, yes. Very deep crater further up, almost opposite Churchill Road.
That's right, yeah.
But 58 took a direct hit, but fortunately I was a long way down the garden. As it happened, I used to go to bed every night, But that night it sounded just a little noisier than normal, so I thought perhaps I'd better go in the air raid shelter, just as well. My mother and father used to go to Woodford. They used to go to Woodford every night on the bus just to get away from it all.
Yes, because Woodford was just that bit away from the docks. And it was the docks that they were aiming for, to bomb the docks so that we didn't get any supplies coming in, you see. Then we'd all go hungry and die.
I went to the pictures one night. Odeon Cinema, you know those pictures? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Came home again. And back here, the whole cinema.
The cinema went, the Odeon.
Yeah, absolutely flattened. So if I had gone
the next night,
instead I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you now. I'd be either in heaven or down below, I don't know. Where I want to go.
He went on the Saturday and that happened on the Sunday.
Yeah, it's just a luck, and it worked out. There you are.
Being evacuated.
Oh, I do. I hated it. I was so homesick. And I used to write to my mum nearly every day and say, please come and take me home. I hate it. I'm so lonely and I miss you and I'm hungry. I was always hungry. We never had enough to eat. So, yeah, it was very miserable.
I was about 9 years old, I suppose, at the time, but they took the other boy. Oh, I mean, I lived in London. I'd never been to a farm in my life. The other boy said to me, come, let's have a race down to the farmyard. And I took a shortcut, what I thought was a small grass field, but it had to be full of cow dung, you know, where the car, and I sunk up to my neck. They had to pull me out and hose me down. Stink like hell. They all thought it was funny. They had the farmer had two daughters, about 18 or 20, and they thought it was great fun. They got to pull all my socks off of my trousers, hose me down, everything, but I didn't know. You don't know, do you? Oh, there you are.
But we had no toys, you see. You know how you all have loads of toys? We never had toys. We didn't have anything to play with. And we used to go to school and walk home from school. And where I was evacuated, the man was a miner. And there was no bathroom in the house. So we couldn't go in the house until he'd had his bath. And he had his bath in front of the fire in the living room. So we had to wait outside in the cold for perhaps an hour when we came home from school, until he'd had his bath and then we could go in the house.
Where was that, in Wales?
No, in
Radstock.
Radstock in Somerset.
And in fact, Peggy, you and Jean came home because of the phony war.
Yes.
And then when the bombing started on September the 7th, the next morning we were all up to Paddington to go back to Radstock again.
Went back again.
Anyway, scribble your notes down, and if you want some more answers, any time, tomorrow perhaps.
Were you in the RAF or one of those...
What was that, dear?
Were you in the RAF or one of those services?
You were in the RAF?
I was in the RAF for 5 years during the war, yes. I was only 18 when I went in and 23 when I came out. But Johnny was also in the RAF, later on.
Yeah,
but,
that was 2 years.
But I was in during the wartime.
Where did you go?
I was up at Lucas on the east coast of Scotland for 2 years. And then in 1944, when we had what we called the Second Front, when we invaded Normandy, I went across to Normandy and followed the troops all the way up through France and Holland and Belgium into Germany. That took about 10 or 11 months. So that's very briefly what happened.
The underground?
No, we didn't do that. No. We weren't anywhere near the underground, but lots of people did.
Yes.
We weren't near an underground station.
We went to what was called a public shelter, which was on the corner of your street. And we all went there and we all had bunks. You got into your bunk at night. Sometimes you had to share a bunk if there was too many people. And the local vicar would often bring a hot drink in for us because, you know, there were no facilities in there for cooking or making tea or anything. And so our vicar would bring a flask, wouldn't he?
And one of the terrible things was most people were dirty for an awful long time. Showers or baths, well, it just didn't happen, did it?
No, because water, there was very little water, there was very little of everything, wasn't
there? That's right, it was very difficult.
And also we had what was called blackout, So you never put any lights on, and in the streets there were no lights, and everywhere was dark all the time. So it was very difficult. If you had to go to an air raid shelter, it would be very dark to go along the street in the pitch black and try and find your way to the air raid shelter, wasn't it?
Mm. I fell over a few times doing that, you can't see.
And even inside, you had to have heavy curtains over the windows, and if sometimes you forgot, that somebody would be banging on your door telling you to
put that light out.
Yes. That's what they used to say.
Because you mustn't let anybody see the lights on.
Right. One last question then.
Did you ever have to wear a gas mask?
What was that?
Did we ever wear a gas mask? We had to put them on as an exercise, but fortunately we weren't in any gassing area at all.
No, we had just to wear them just to make sure they were working and everything like that, but we didn't ever wear them.
And there was this little box that they were in, little square box for the civilians.
And you had to carry them all the time in case you needed them.
What did you say to all the
very much.
Well, don't forget, if anything isn't quite clear and you want to ask us some more, come back tomorrow.
Oh, wow.